Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
A few weeks ago, I preached on the Last Supper. Come to the table. That's our series. You see what I did there? I just did like that and it changed. Anyway, come to the table. And I spoke out of the book of Luke. And Luke is giving the story of the Last Supper. Now, I want to give you the same story, but I want to go to the book of John and give it to you from his perspective. Because what you see is determined by where you sit, right? So if you sit up front row, right up here, these front couple of rows, I don't know why y'all sit here. You might sit here because you like being up front, or you might sit here because you don't want to get distracted by everybody else in the back. You go, no, I want to stay focused. I want to get up front. And then you people who sit up there, you know why you sit up there, right? You sit up there not because you want to see everything, because you don't want to miss anything. You want to get it all, right? Upstairs people, help me. No, you go, we want to see it every. So you may see something that the front row doesn't see, and the front row gets to see something that you don't get to see. The front row gets to see the spit coming out of my mouth, but the back row people don't. Many people have been healed by that spit. No, I'm teasing. So it depends upon the perspective. Luke gave us his perspective, and I'll remind you, remember we took communion at the end. He said there's a new covenant, which is a new promise from the Lord, that we don't have to go to the temple, we don't have to go to the high priest, get the lamb slaughtered, the blood, go into the Holy of Holies, so that we could have forgiveness of sin. That's the Old Testament, old promise, old covenant. There is a new covenant. This is the broken body of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the cup, the blood. There is a new promise. How many of y'all know his promises are yes and amen, but he changed his promise. He took one promise away and gave us a better promise. No, for you, let me help you. Husbands, if you've married to your wife for 25 years, you need to bring her a bigger ring. And all the ladies said, amen. You need to bring her a bigger ring. And if you promise her a one carat for her 25 years, if you promise her a whole carat, and then she goes, I can't wait, he promised me one carat, and you show up with a two carat, how many of you know she's going to be more excited about the new promise? She'll let the old promise go. Yes, she will. Trust me. So that's what God did. He did away with the old promise and let us have the new promise, which is now we put our faith and trust in Jesus. It's not determined by how well we did the Ten Commandments or we have to go in with bloods of lambs and animals to be forgiven. We can just put our trust in Jesus, and I can go to him today, tomorrow, in the morning, at night, anytime to get forgiveness. If I need it, I can get grace. If I need it, I got 24 access to him. I can go into the Holy of Holies, into his bedroom and say, Papa, Abba, Father, and I'm welcome there. Amen? So we got a new promise. I want to show you what John sees, because there's another message at the Last Supper. So let's begin and looking at John chapter 13, 1. Same table, different perspective, different message. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, the disciples, who were in the world, he loved them. It's in the yellow. He loved them to the end. What does that mean, he loved them to the end? Well, he's about to die. Does that mean he finished, he loves them? Let me help you with what does that really mean? And this is important, that he loved them to the end. In the upper room, John's beginning to tell us the end. He's going to love them till the end. What does that mean? It means that he loved them completely. He loved the disciples at the beginning, and he loved them at the end, and he loved everywhere in between. Let me help you. The Bible says that the Lord, the Father, is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. In other words, you and I are not here. There was a beginning to you and I. It was all his idea. I don't care what your parents told you. Your parents might have told you it was an accident. You were not an accident. It was not the wine. Some of you will get that later. You are not an accident, that you were created on purpose with purpose. In fact, the psalmist wrote, David wrote, that you were created, and he knew you before any of your days came to be, which he knew you before. And then it says he knit you together in the womb of your mother, and that have ordained all the days of your life, even to the end. So there's a beginning that God loved you. And then if you're a believer here, even if you're going through difficult times now, you know in the end, it's going to be good. Can I get an amen? Amen. So you know the beginning's good and the end is good. But what's in the middle? It's the mess in the middle. There's the up you and then there's the down you. There's the good you. There's the bad you. There's the Friday night you, and then there's the Monday morning before coffee you. Yo, check it. How do you know? I don't even speak till we have coffee. He's like, hello. You know, he knew your good days. I know there are days, you and I know this. You are walking and tracking with God. And then there's days and periods and seasons where you go, God, where are you? There's days that you're following him. And then there's days that you do get off track. Am I talking to anybody here? There are days where you're in church singing all your promises of yes and amen, and you're tracking with Kevin, yes, Lord. And then there's the Friday night you that you don't want anybody else to know about you. And you may not have wanted to, but in fact, afterwards on Sunday, you're upset with yourself that you were even there on Friday night. Can I say something else to you? Not even all of us are at the same part of the journey. Do you remember when you asked Christ to come in and be the Lord of your life, and then you started walking? There was a young couple, pastor couple, that came to see Heidi and I this week. We spent 2 or 3 hours with them, and they asked us, tell us your story. And my story was, I got saved at a church like ours. I got born again. How many of you know just because you get born again doesn't mean you're sanctified? There's still things, there's still old ways of thinking that you got to get straight, that it takes God some time. He saves you first and cleans you up along the way. Right? My pastor calls me in after church on Sunday. It'd be like me seeing a teenager here and going, I need to see you in the back after church. I didn't even know he knew my name. He said, I need to see you in the back. And so I go to his office, yes, sir. And I'm thinking in my head, Lord, please forgive me because I think I kissed one of the girls after youth group on Wednesday night. Please forgive me for that. Lord, please forgive me. And I'm naming all these things. And I walk in because I think he's about to get me. And he says, what are you doing with your life? I said, I have no idea. And he goes, I just got saved like 2 months ago. I don't know. Everything's changed now. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And he said, you need to go to Bible school. I said, okay. Something's on you. That's what he said. Something's on you. I'm like, okay, I'll go. I go to Bible college. Guess why they're all there? They're training to be pastors. They go, we're pastors. We're going to be pastors. We're going to be pastors. What do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. They asked, how did you get here? My pastor told me to come here. Really? Yeah. I don't even know why I'm here. And then they asked, well, you and Heidi met at college. And Heidi goes, yeah. Well, they go, did y'all date at college? She said, well, he dated about 42 of the other girls at college. How many know? You still had to get this worked out. He saved my heart. He saved me. But you still had to change the stinking thinking. Thank God people were patient and graced me along the way, speaking truth. Grace, so that they gave me at least enough room to allow God to work in my life. If they only came with truth and no grace, they would have driven me away from God. But because they came with grace and truth, in Jesus' name. It would allow it so that I could grow. Are y'all checking with me? Not everybody's at the same spot at the same time. Listen, for those who've been walking with Christ for a long time, because God has entrusted you with a lot of truth, because he has entrusted you with a lot of truth, you need just as much grace as you have truth. And those who are walking young, you gotta keep moving. You gotta keep following the Lord. You gotta just keep walking. Even when you fall, you gotta get back up again, repent to God, and keep walking. Are y'all tracking with me? Here's what Jesus is saying. He loved them till the end. He loved them on their best day when they were walking on water, and he loved them on their worst day when they were saying, I'm going back fishing. He was patient enough with them to go, I'm going to love you through the ups, and I'm going to love you through the downs. I'm going to love you on a good Sunday when you walk in and go, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I'm going to love you on a bad Sunday when you walk in with your head down. If you'll come to me, I'll still love you. I still love you. Are y'all tracking with me? This is important. Stay with me. J.I. Packer said this, God loved us and saved us with his eyes wide open. In other words, he knew what he was getting into with you. When he saved you, he knew your propensity, your weakness, the places that are temptations to you. He knew that. And yet he still loved you, and he still saved you. And he's not done with you yet. He's not done. He's not done with me yet. There's still places and areas in all of our hearts, mine included, that God is still after. He still wants to become more like Jesus. Am I at the right church? I just want to make sure. Is this our Savior's Opelousas campus special? Yeah, okay. Watch this. During the supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas this table, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and he was going back to God. And then it said he rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it to his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Luke doesn't cover this part. Luke just covers, this is my body, breaks the bread. This is my blood, which is the new covenant. He doesn't cover, wait a minute, Jesus gets up. The man in authority, all authority was placed under his feet. And then he takes off his authority and puts on a towel, which is a new identity. The identity of a servant. Everybody say servant. Yeah, he's going from the King of Kings to the lowliest of servants at all, and he's going to wash the feet of the disciples. It wasn't uncommon for there to be someone who washed feet in a home, especially a middle class or upper class home, to have a servant so that when guests came in as part of the hospitality, that the first thing you did was kick off your sandals. Y'all know they didn't have Nikes back in Bible days. Y'all know that, right? They didn't have, I forget what these are. These are Kohans, I think. Yeah. They didn't, whatever you girls wear, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They didn't have those. They wore sandals. Y'all know the roads weren't paved. They were dust and dirt. Everybody walked in with dirt on their feet. And Jesus is going to take the place of a servant. He's going to wash their feet. It didn't matter where you walked in Bible days. You had dust on your feet. That says something to us. Because you and I haven't all walked the same road. Your journey hasn't been my journey, and the journey next to the person hasn't been their journey, and all of us have walked different roads in different journeys, but I can tell you there is one thing that is the same about every one of us. We all have dust on our feet. We've all had to walk a journey in this life, and you end up with dust on your feet. No, everybody's, the Bible would say it this way, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why you got to get grace in the middle with people, because we're all standing at the cross and it's all level ground. We're all short. We are all short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, and all of us have dust on our feet. You may have Shetania dust on your feet. You may have Krot Springs dust on your feet. It may be red clay but all of us have dust on our feet. Yeah, some of you still got dust on your feet from Mardi Gras. You still got dust on your feet from the divorce. You got dust on your feet from your childhood. You may have dust on your feet from what your daddy said when you was a boy and wounded you, or your mother said and wounded you. We all have dust on our feet. Dust from your childhood. Not all of our journeys are the same, but all of our journeys are full of dust. And it all ends up on our feet, and dust needs to be washed from our feet. Can I get an amen? Amen. Some of you walked in today and got dust from the argument you got with your spouse on the car on the way here. Just whisper right now, baby, please forgive me for that. We all have dust, and we get to walk in today. Walk in. The Savior is here, and he still carries towels to wipe the dust off of every one of our feet. I'm so grateful, and I just want to shout out to small group leaders. You guys, girls, couples who lead small groups, thank you. Thank you. You know what it is? You're taking off the towel. You're taking off, put it on the towel and getting down and washing with words and testimony and encouragement and washing dust off of. We live in a community in particular that got dirty, stinky feet. Sometimes it's not by anything they've done. It's just the road and the journey you've had to walk in to survive. And you walk into a place. Shouldn't this be a place where you can get your feet washed? Shouldn't this be a spot where you can come? Thank you, small group. Freedom people, they do the freedom. Small groups and prayer teams, our intercessors who pray. Thank you. Our children's church workers and nursery workers who take care of your babies just to wash their feet. Greeter at the door saying, Miss Dot, she was at the last service. She went, woo. When I say Miss Dot, she woo. Miss Dot, I won't want our church without Miss Dot at the front. She's like, come on in here, baby. The Lord loves you. Come on. You just, I'm home. I just want, we need a place to get your feet washed. So the Last Supper wasn't a meal. It was a message. God was trying to speak to us. Wash by the washing of feet. Look what it goes on to say in verse 6. And then he comes to Simon Peter. I don't know if you know this about Peter. Pastor Jacob calls Peter the disciple with a foot-shaped mouth. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was always the boisterous one, the one who would just blurt out what he was thinking. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and he comes to Simon Peter, who Simon Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Let me just read the yellow again. You do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Let me just do it one more time for those who are slower. You do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Can I push pause and teach you something about God? Let me tell you what God does. When you were in school, your teacher would spend all week giving you the lesson and the answers. And then on Friday, you know what happened on Friday? You had to take the test. So you got the lesson and the answers first, and the test came second. God doesn't do that with us. God gives you the test first, and then he gives you the lesson and the answers after you take the test. Can I get a witness from an old timer that you've walked through and some things with God long enough to know, I got it. This is a test. And if I'll just keep walking. Thank you, Kevin, for bringing up, Pastor Kevin, for bringing up the young bride who she had to walk through the test first. It's coming, baby. Don't worry about it. You got to go through the test. Just keep following Jesus, because the answer is ahead of you. It's not behind you. That's why it's important. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Good day, bad day, Monday, Sunday. Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep following Jesus, because if I'll just keep following him, every step I take gets me closer to the promise. Even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't see it. That's why I'd say this. Kim George, I don't know if Kim's here. I don't see her. She might have been at the earlier service. Kim George, she tells their famous story of the young lady who was in church during worship, starts crying, and then runs out the church. Kim sees her in the foyer, and she says, where are you? She goes, I can't stay in there. I got too much dirt on my feet, is what she was saying. And Kim grabs her and says, baby, you're running the wrong way. You need to run back in there, because that's where you get. See, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to quit walking. He wants you to not show up to church. Don't go. Don't go. Well, the promise is delayed too long. Don't wait. Keep walking. The more you walk, the closer you get to the promise. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Does that make sense to you? So that's how God works. You get the test first, you get the answer later. We were telling the young couple that was asking our story, and we told them about Houston. And we were going, man, God was teaching us, it was a test. Would we go to Houston, start an inner city work where with nothing? It was a test. We had to pray for resources. We had to pray for stuff. We had to pray for buildings. We started under a bridge. Our church was under Highway 59 and Main Street with a generator and a horse trailer. We'd bring the band out and worship, put chairs out in the open air. Days like today, we're having church under a bridge. Sometimes we'd have to scoot over depending on how the wind was blowing, you know, which side. We would take donuts and go out an hour before church and just go to anybody and say, well, you want some donuts? And some of the guys on the street who lived on the street would go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we just go, okay, well, come on. We're going to church. Like this. And they just do like this all the way to church. You had to learn to walk backwards. And I'm looking back and I'm going, man. And we would say things like this. One day we're going to have a church with black, white, rich, poor. I would say, stop, don't clap yet. I would say things like this. We're going to have doctors in our church, lawyers in our church. We're going to have the rich in our church and the poor in our church. And God's going to knit them together like a coat of many colors. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Test, test. We left Houston thinking, its promise isn't going to happen. God here, Pastor Jacob, man of God, I just want you to do the upfront. I just did the upfront for 10 years. I just did the upfront. I just get up and go, so great to have all of you here this morning. Come on, let's pray right now. If you're here, why don't you just stretch your hand out? Let's pray in Jesus' name. And now would you please welcome Pastor Jake. He'd come preach. Heidi asked me, do you think we'll ever pastor a church again? I go, I don't know. What was that? Test. It was the test. And then you show up, and now we get to walk and see every Sunday, get to see the promise from 25 years ago. You get to look at it. Don't stop walking. You just keep pursuing him. Let him do the washing along the way. Are you checking with me? Don't give up. Come on, somebody's going through a test right now. You're going through the test. Don't stop walking. Just say, I'm keeping walking because I know every day I delay. Don't run back to the club. Don't run back to the club. Don't run back to the old way, the old friends. Don't run back. Keep walking. If you do, you're only delaying the promise to your future. God still loves you in the middle of the mess. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this. You don't understand now, but you will understand. Peter said to him, I love Peter. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, God, that Peter's in there. You get to see him. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Whoa. You telling the King of Kings, who decides to be a servant, is going to wash your feet. You telling him he's never going to wash your feet. Look what Jesus answered him. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And then Simon Peter said, Lord, don't just do my feet, but also my hands and my head, because I need them, mind you. Oh, one time, I'll share it with y'all, my pride, right? One day, this is years ago, Pastor Jacob came into a meeting we had. After the meeting, he said, stay behind, I want to talk to you for a second. So we stay behind. He said, Pastor, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. You've been doing a fantastic job doing the front end. You're the best at it. I'm going, oh, yeah, there's a lot more in me than that. You know, I'm Boudin. And he goes, no, but you've really done a fantastic job. And I just want to say thank you. And he pulled out and he had an envelope. This is just a blessing to say you've really been doing a great job. And then I went all humbly proud. Have you ever seen somebody get humbly proud? That's where you say things like this. Oh, no, I do it as a service to the Lord. But what are you thinking on the inside? I wonder how big that check really is, because I sure do need it. Right? That's called dishonesty, by the way. That's called lying, right? Because that's not true. You're thinking on the outside, oh no, thank you, Pastor. I just do it as unto the Lord. Let it be. And so I'm doing that. And then he goes, fine, I'll keep it. And guess what I did? I repent. I am so, no. He goes, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. If someone's trying to be a blessing to you, don't you get all humbly proud up on the inside. Because I know on the inside you're going, thank you, Jehovah Jireh, but you're acting like something else. You need to say what's happening on the inside. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Are y'all tracking with me? That's Simon. Oh, you ain't washing my feet. Uh-uh, that ain't happening. Lord, I'll wash your feet. You're not washing my feet. If you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. That's him taking the check, putting it in his pocket. Oh, no. Okay. Take my hands and my head. Just wash it all. Why? Listen to me. We were created from dust. Listen, I'll quote Dr. Scott. We're naughty by nature. No, we don't have to work on it to have a bad thought. No, it's the other way. No, we have to take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Bad thoughts just come. You don't even have to. No, if you don't believe that, you're full of it. It just comes. We have to take every thought that's captive. That's why we have to feed the spirit and not the flesh. Because if we don't feed the spirit man, then the flesh man grows and becomes stronger. And we only delay the promises of God. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Yeah, we need to be cleansed. The disciples were clean because of the words of Jesus. But the water in the bowl looks forward to the Jesus' blood that's going to take away our sins, the shed. What is he going to shed on the cross? Whatever dirt you walk through, Jesus can make you clean. And he's going to save us by serving us. The servant. Look at John 13 and 10, where Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And he's telling his disciples, and you are clean, but not every one of you. Y'all know who he's talking about, right? For he knew that who was to betray him That was why he said, not all of you are clean. He knew there was one among them that was going to betray him, that his heart was not with him. His heart was not for him. But I don't want you to miss this moment. Ready? Victor's going to help me, but I don't want you to miss it. Jesus washed John's feet, Matthew's feet, Mark's feet, John's feet. Well, then there's Judas who's going to betray him. He washed Judas's feet. He washed Judas's feet. He wasn't just being a servant to the ones who loved him back. He was even being the servant to the one who was going to betray him. I think the real test of our heart is not do we love those who love us. It's do we love those who don't love us. Yeah, my neighbor, he's a... Now, love him. Serve him. He's an old, mean, wicked man. Serve him. Maybe the servant to him just might break his heart of stone and allow the Holy Spirit to mess with him so that he could have a heart of flesh. Love him. Love him. My husband's so hard. Love him. Serve. Jesus is giving all of us an example of no matter where we're at, we can wash feet. Are y'all receiving what I'm putting down? Don't miss it. If you want to be clean, then we have to come clean. If you want to be clean, you have to come clean. John 13 and 12 says, when he had washed their feet, he put his outer garment and he's going to resume his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. I am. That is who I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, let me translate it. King of kings to a servant. If I've done that, then surely you can do from here to here. If I've gone from here to here, then surely you can go from here to here. That you would love one another enough that he's come from heaven to wash our feet, that you could then in turn look to your brother or your sister that you're sitting in the room with now and wash their feet so that they could become clean. Wash them with your words. Because I'm not talking about, don't all of y'all bring a bowl and a basin next week and go, where's the feet? No. He's talking about with your words that you would wash one another. With your words to bring encouragement when people are discouraged. To bring peace when people are full of anxiousness. To love each other. To say it over. To fight for the unity. To fight for it in this room. There's a season that's coming that is always concerning to me. There's enough division going on in our world right now. You don't even have to hear God to know what is happening. There's division everywhere. We have political division in our world. There used to be a day we were civil, even if you are a Republican or a Democrat. There was civil. There is no civil anymore. There's everything's polar opposites. There used to be news. There is no news anymore. It's all slanted. It used to be our journalism was supposed to be the referees of our world that hold power to account. No longer. Now, journalism is part of the teams. So you don't even know what's real anymore. We live in a world of division. So if you think of, if the enemy is trying to divide, God must be trying to unite. If he's bringing division, then God's bringing unity, trying to bring unity to a house. Yeah. Just you're clapping now, but you remember this sermon. When you're at home in your underwear eating Cheetos, and you decide to get on the internet about your political party and what you think, and the rest of them's the devil. You're not of this world. We are not of this world. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning was good and the end's going to be good, but there's going to be some mess in the middle. And we better fight for the unity among us, because the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to tear it apart. George Floyd was tough on us. I'll just be honest with you. It was tough. I get it. But thank y'all for fighting back again and going, no. We're going to build together, relationships together. Prejudice can't come down with white hands on it. It's got to have black hands and white hands on it. We got to both be pulling at the same time to get it down and go, no. We gotta have a higher call to go, know what? No, the scripture says there is no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female, there's no master, there's no servant. We are all sitting on level ground at the foot of the cross. And if Jesus is your Father, he's your Savior, then that makes us brothers and sisters. And we're gonna fight for it. We're not going to let the only thing that stops what's happening on the inside is not from the outside. It has no power or authority, nor can it do it. The only thing that stops is from the inside. Washing feet. Taking off what we identify as. And all of us putting on the towel of a servant. A servant in the house. He set the example. Remember Luke? There's a new covenant. It's better than the old. It's a better promise at the table. Now you can see John going, not just a new covenant. Watch what he says in 13:34, where he says, now there's a new commandment. So we get a new covenant and a new commandment from the same table. I give to you that you love one another just as. Okay, let's pretend we took out just as I have loved you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. You are also to love one another. No. See, it wouldn't make sense, would it? No, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Go back to Super Pete. And you ain't washing my feet, I'll wash your feet. No, unless you all wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. Can I tell you what happens in the next part of the verse? We're talking about the beginning and the end is good, but the middle is the mess, the up and down, the Monday you. In the rest of that chapter, he turns to Peter and says to him, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. I'll never deny you. I will die for you. Yeah, y'all know what happened, right? Three times he denies. He leaves the disciples. He leaves. He's going fishing. What's he doing going fishing? That was the old way of life. He was a fisherman. He's going back to the old way. He's going back to the club. He's heading back. The promises aren't going to happen. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, makes a special visit to Peter. Peter. Yes, Lord. Can you imagine Peter? I denied him three times, just as he said I would. I denied him. I didn't know him. I don't know the Lord. I would never do that. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, Peter. Yes, sir. Peter. Yes, sir. Do you love me? I do love you. I do love you. Take care of my lambs, Peter. Take care of my lambs. Yes, sir. Peter, yes, sir. Do you love me? Kind of gave up after that, after three times. And then he just goes, Lord, only you know. You know. Only you know. Take care of my sheep. Yes, sir. Fast forward the Bible. Just a few days later, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Everybody's coming to Jerusalem from faraway lands to celebrate Pentecost. It's like their Mardi Gras. Everybody's coming. And the Holy Spirit falls on 120 people. And this Peter, now full of the Holy Spirit, stands up and preaches like a madman. And 3,000 people, says the Bible says, were added to their number on that day. 3,000 people get born again and saved in one shot. And you go, that's the end. But there was this love in the middle, through betrayals, denials, bad day, going back to old way of life day, because they're in our church too. Some people have walked away and went to the old way of life, and all they're just waiting for is a phone call from one of us, one of you who knows them and says, I just want to tell you, come back. I love you. Come on back to the house. Jesus is waiting so he could wash the dirt and dust off your feet again, because this ain't the end. And he loved us through it all. And now he's telling us, go, what? Well, in fact, I'll read it to you. Ready? Don't take my word for it. Ah, watch it. Do you understand what I've done for you? Oh, I'm sorry. Can we go back up to 12 and 17? I'm sorry. My bad. I was rolling. If you know these, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Okay, can you go to 15? If then your Lord and teacher wash your feet, also wash one another's feet, for I have given you this as. Let's just follow in his example. Do y'all receive this word today? Because the test, there's a test coming. There's a test coming. And you don't understand it until you get after the test. There's a test coming. What makes us Christians? Not that you have the right bumper sticker on your car. Not that you go to Our Savior's Church. Our Savior's Church, does that make you a Christian? Not that you follow Pastor. Pastor Eugene's my pastor. Pastor Eugene and Heidi are my pastors. That doesn't make you a Christian. Christian was what they called them in the early days of the church, which meant, there's a Greek word for it, and it's a follower of Christ, that we follow Christ. I want you to follow Christ, because he's saying the world will know you belong to me by the way that you love one another, period. Not because you preach great messages, not because Victor and the team did great worship service did we know that we love Jesus, because we love one another. It's the way we love. That's what will tell us whether we really belong to him. Can I give you something I want you to do? Love one another. Don't just come to church, sit in rows, face forward, and leave. Get to know each other. Y'all usually sit in the same place anyway. I know when then you're here or you're not here, because you go, oh, okay, then let me sit over there, not here today. Love one another. That's the way the world will tell we really belong to him. Not because you voted one way or you voted a different way. Not because you got the right bumper sticker. Not because you eat Baptist chicken at Chick-fil-A or Holy Ghost chicken at Mama's. That does not make you a Christian. because you follow Jesus. Do y'all receive what I'm putting down today? Let's pray. Father, we take our shoes off today before you. We do. Our feet are dirty from the journey we've walked. Sometimes they get dirty from a Sunday to a Sunday. Thank you for loving us in the middle. Thank you for loving us on our tough day, our denial days. And thank you for loving us on the days that we're doing really, really good. And you loved us just the same. Thank you that you didn't give up on us, that you're long-suffering and you're patient with us. And because of that, and now you live in us, that we can be long-suffering and patient with one another too. And because you've loved us, now we can love one another with that same love. Would you use us as servants to help wash away the dirt on people's feet? We have a community in a surrounding area that we're praying for that are going to walk in with dirty feet. Thank you for allowing us to be the servants to serve them and to wash them with the word, to wash their feet. So Father, today, I don't know, if you could, not really, don't really take your shoes off, but if you could really think about your feet for a second, you might have walked in here with some real dirt. Can I tell you, he'll wash it for you today? You could have walked in here with lots of dirt, sin. Can I tell you, he'll wash it for you today? Jesus called it being born again. You could have your feet washed today. If you've never trusted your salvation and your life to Jesus, if you've never been a follower of Jesus, I didn't say go to church. I didn't say be baptized. I didn't say be a member of a church. But if you've never really followed Jesus, you can today. He's here. He loves you. He'll forgive you. And he will wipe away all of it. All you have to do is ask him, Pastor, you, how do I do it? It's easy as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. That's where it all begins. We got to admit where we really are. B, believe that Jesus came and lived a sinless life for this new covenant to take away your sin. And third, just make him the boss. Confess him as Lord. Make him the boss and follow him. If you're ready to be born again today, I want to pray for you. Christians, would you pray? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you've never committed your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you right now. Would you slip your hand up? Say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. Hold up high. Nobody's looking. Just me. Hold up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Congregation, can we add our voice to theirs? Let's pray this with them. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I don't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on this earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Thank you for washing my feet. Now give me grace that these same feet can follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.